Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hello and welcome to Beauty Inside Out. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, nutritionist, wellness expert, and author. On this podcast, I share my experiences, insights, and knowledge with you on health, beauty, personal development, and wellness. Every week, we have interviews with amazing pioneers in their fields. So joining me in the conversation every week is also my dear friend, Tony, who is a health researcher out of Stanford. Hey, beauties, welcome back to our Monday informational podcast. And as always, I have our amazing Tony here with us today. Hey, T.
How's it going?
And today we are so excited to talk about healthier plane travel and getting past jet lag,
yes,
which is a huge topic for all of us, especially now going into summer. A lot of us are going to be traveling at least once, so it's something to pay attention to. Before we dive into all the exciting research, I just want to call out our fan of the day. It is Lucinda Cotter, who left a review here on iTunes. She writes, "Always inspiring. This podcast is both informative and inspiring and, as always, easy to follow. This is another amazing tool from Kimberly to understand our bodies and our place in nature. Plus, we can utilize it anywhere to fit into our busy days. Many huge thanks to you, Kimberly. Since embracing your knowledge and advice over 6 months ago, my life is forever changed for the better." So, Lucinda, thank you so much for writing in. I appreciate it so, so much. And remember, beauties, for your chance to be called out as the fan of the day, please leave a review on iTunes. I appreciate it. It helps to spread the word of the podcast. It helps to help others feel their best and to support others. So, again, I appreciate it so much if you just take a moment to leave a review. And remember that if you love or hear something that you think is important for someone in your life, a family or friend, please take a screenshot today and share it on Instagram with your friends and followers and tag me at @_KimberlySnyder. So I know you love this topic and I can also hear what you're thinking. And the only way we can continue to help everyone live their most beautiful life is by sharing it with our amazing community. All right. So now let's get started, T, and let's talk about healthier plane travel.
Yes.
So this is something that I am particularly interested in because I travel quite a bit and it hasn't slowed down so much since having Bubby. So he's been traveling a lot as well. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that we're doing it in the least disruptive ways for our body, right?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about, first of all, why can, we know jet lag can be annoying and you know, can keep us up late at night, it disrupts our sleep cycle, but what else can be detrimental about flying, T?
Yeah, this was really an interesting topic to research because I learned a lot about the impact of flying that I wasn't aware of before. There's just so many physiological changes that happen while you're flying that are, to be frank, like pretty adverse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So shooting up that quickly to that high of an altitude, one of the things is that, and we'll talk about this more later and kind of some of the solutions, but
yeah,
a lot of our body runs off of pressure.
Mm.
So basically when you're going up that high in altitude, the whole pressure system of the body gets disrupted. And so your organs, your breathing, everything is kind of thrown off a little bit while you're...
Your organ function,
yes,
can actually be impaired.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of other things I'll mention in just a moment, but like that's a really, really big one. The other thing is dry, like the air in the plane is...
So dry.
Extremely dry. And so this is one of the reasons why it's so dehydrating, but it doesn't just affect hydration. It affects all kinds of things like your sinus cavities actually get inflamed while you're flying, which actually affects your taste, which can lead to like overeating or difficulty in actually tasting food while you're flying.
Oh my gosh. So it's not just the airline food sucks.
No.
It's that there's actually...
Yeah, you can't taste anything anyways.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's crazy, T, is that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention considers pilots and other flight crew members radiation workers.
Yes.
They're getting that much radiation from frequent flying. Now,
yes.
For most of us listening to this, we're even if we fly a lot, we're not flying every day, but maybe some of us listening to this are flight member. You know, I know we've had other beauties write in that are flight attendants and pilots. And so this information would especially pertain to them as well, because
yes,
that's kind of scary.
Yeah. And I think just stepping back, like we have to look at it kind of in a, from a macro point of view, like a lot of us live in cities.
Yeah,
that's not
sure.
That's not as ideal as living in nature, but we make that like that trade-off because that's how we sustain ourselves, or we're doing what we want, you know, different things. And so flying has upsides, like you're getting, you're traveling, like even on a physiological level, going to, you know, new countries and exploring, like it's good for your soul. It's good
sure.
for your body. So
exactly.
So the upside, I think, still outweighs the downside. But what we're talking about here is also doing everything that you can to also minimize that downside so that your body is not stressed as much. Another thing I didn't mention is that, and this is a really big deal, is that your circulation is really adversely affected. So blood will collect and kind of clot more in your body. And so this is also why it's a good idea to like walk around, build
move belly, around, stretch a little bit.
Exactly. Like go to the back of the plane, kind of, especially if it's a longer flight where you can kind of, you know, do light stretching, raise your arms, do like not crazy. Yoga, like,
oh, so sometimes I do. I wonder if people think I'm a super weirdo. I'll sit in the seat and really just lift my legs up.
Yeah.
But I do it so confidently that people are probably like, whatever, you know?
Sure. Yeah. But that's so important because like you're not letting blood just collect and not be circulated.
And certain medical conditions, of course, would be extremely dangerous.
Yes, exactly.
But even for the average person that doesn't have blood issues per se, that certainly is not ideal to have impaired circulation for hours and hours.
Exactly. So one, like it's a little bit premature, but just one tip related to that is like, compression, you know, like there's compression like tights or different things,
sure.
socks that people can wear.
So what does that do?
The compression kind of, whether it's leggings or socks or whatever, actually it kind of compresses the blood around like an area and actually
so
helps.
Forces more movement.
Exactly. It forces more circulation and more movement. So it's actually really helpful to wear compression things if you can on a flight.
Okay, I guess there's socks you can put on.
Yeah,
I'm just laughing because I would think of compression tights or things that are clearly, I mean, something I personally probably wouldn't wear, but sure. maybe the socks, you know,
Do you wear sometimes wear yoga things out? Do you or no?
Yeah, for sure. But I think cool yoga pants look different than compression stockings. Yes. But yes, great tip. And I think there's probably, I personally like to be very comfortable on flight. So I often wear, you know, some kind of cooler, like upgraded, fun,
yes,
but very comfortable version of sweatpants. And so you could pull the socks on underneath your sweatpants because I will not wear jeans on flights. I just don't like doing that. I like to be very soft material myself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so you could wear compression.
Yeah, the socks a lot of times will go up, like good compression socks, almost to the knee. So you're getting like at least your whole calf and like
that's great.
The lower part of your leg is getting circulation. So that's really good.
That's fantastic. So another, no one
We're
sees
starting
it.
Starting off with a bang here.
That's a good one, T. Good tip there. So, but another thing that I think is, you know, we talked about putting less stress on the body, and something that's very close to my heart, T, and what I've always talked about my philosophy is if we want to redirect energy, if we want to reduce, you know, stress work of the body, the first thing we want to do is literally to free up digestion. Mm-hmm. So you could literally, it depends on the length of the flight, because this isn't going to be possible if you're flying to, you know, New York to Tokyo or something. Mm-hmm. But for shorter flights, it could be advisable to just fast, to eat as little as possible, because on top of all the pressure of the radiation, the flight, the travel stress, everything that's going on biologically that's disrupting our system, you throw in food, digesting food on top of that, and now you're really weighing your body down.
Yes, exactly. No, I think that's amazing. And it seems like from whatever, you know, traveled or seen you, you would tend to eat before the flight and very light, like fruit or something, which is almost like, like fasting where there's no digestive energy.
I definitely love eating, you know, I'll eat blueberries, cut up apples with Bubby, things like that. But, I don't like eating heavy stuff on the flight. I just feel gross.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't.
That makes sense. Like
it.
If you were going to eat something before a flight, and this is getting into, I think fasting is a really great tip. Generally, if you can, and if you're the kind of person that just hard
or eating before the flight,
and if you're going to do something before, a really good idea is something like fruit, which is light, it's watery, so it's hydrating. It's also got a lot of antioxidants, will help with kind of offset the radiation and the oxidative damage from that.
Right.
Blueberries would be something like amazing.
Exactly. Yes. And one thing, T, that, along with this idea is to prepare. So there's the fasting element, but then there's also fortifying your body with the proper nutrients before. One thing I always do, and I will bring, just BPA-free, or disposable containers or ones that are easy to rinse out. I always have a GGS before I fly, mm-hmm. unless it's, a red eye or something like that, which I generally try to avoid. But I always drink the GGS, a good big amount. And this is the one time where, I always say, listen to your body. Don't have it until you're actually hungry. But when I'm flying, I tend to have it. No matter what, even if it's a little bit on the early side, because I just feel like those nutrients are really helping to protect my body.
Yeah. Well,
have certain nutrients.
Yeah,
that's
really fantastic. Because one of the tips that I think we're going to cover is like that green superfoods or, GPS are a really good option pre-flight because they keep you.
the right greens powders. And again, it has to be curated properly.
Yes. There's a lot of not great ones out there.
There's a lot of ones out there, and a lot of them have what we call the kitchen sink approach, just like tiny amounts of billions of things so they can put it on the label. But I don't find that, the most beneficial. I'd rather have legitimate, just the dosages are more impactful because there's more, more dosage, less actual ingredients. I think that can be more powerful. So a greens powder you mix with water, or you could even take that on the plane.
Exactly. Just mix it.
Mix it with water, or the GGS is really great. And that way you're getting, in particular, you're getting vitamin C, which is, and zinc, there's all these different minerals that can help with, just help with inflammation, anti-inflammatory vitamins, immunity boosting. Like, it's important to have that before.
Yeah, which also kind of combines with another tip, which everybody has heard, to drink water because it's so drying, like we just said. But a key component of the water is actually like having electrolytes so that your body can actually hold the water, because it is so drying that even if you drink bad water on a flight without electrolytes, it's likely just going to pass through you and not hydrate, not stay with your body, especially if it's longer. But like with the proper greens powder, or, and if you don't have that, then like adding electrolytes can be another option. But with your water, adding electrolytes is really important.
What about just having coconut water?
Yeah, coconut water is like one of the richest sources of electrolytes.
Or,
so it's great.
T, you and I recently did a podcast about adding lemons.
Yes.
Because that is, somewhat similar effect to molecular hydrogen, where mm-hmm. it's actually changing the hydration capability, so to speak, of the water, so you're able to absorb more, which is somewhat complicated. But Beauty, if you're listening to this and you didn't hear that, and you're interested in the science behind why adding lemon to water makes it more hydrating, we'll link to that episode in the show notes too.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you might not think to bring a lemon on your flight, but like if you're at an airport,
a lot of them have lemon.
Yeah, if you're at an airport, you can buy water, and then sometimes either the plane will have it, or like a lot of the bars or like those places around like will give you some lemon slices.
I ask on the plane, but they're like this small.
I know.
I need like 10
five
of them.
Can I have five lemons?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just how much you want to bring. In an ideal world, you could definitely bring your own lemon, but then you have to cut it. And it's, you could, or you could ask for it, but that's another way. Another important thing is to not have super icy water on a plane. That will shock your system. That's, dozens of degrees below our natural body temperature. To really opt for that room temperature water is going to be a much better option on the plane.
Plus, too, the ice machines kind of are,
just
a lot
gross.
Of them are made with tap water, when you don't know where it comes from. It's not at least bottled water. You kind of have at least a decent idea of where it's coming from. So, I think bottled water is the right choice in avoiding ice.
Yes. And of course, bottled water isn't perfect either with all the plastic.
Yes.
But on a plane, it's, we're doing the best we can do.
Exactly.
Okay, T. So we talked about that. One of the things, I'm interested. We talked about grounding pretty extensively in this idea of like touching the earth and getting recentered. Are there any types of, I guess it doesn't, can't really work on the plane, any type of like, you know, those earthing mats, can you plug them in on the plane, or do you kind of have to do it on,
that's good. I'm not sure. I've never thought about that. Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I mean, there are, you know, a lot of flights, I mean, it seems like it's about 50-50 have like plugs at the seat, depending on which flight you're on.
Yeah, I don't know if it works.
I don't know if it would work the same.
But if you are flying, a great way to reset afterwards and to help, you know, get those...
reground.
Yeah, the negative ions is to literally, when you're getting somewhere, if you're getting somewhere that isn't super urban, mm-hmm. let's say you're going on vacation and you're going to a lake or a beach or whatever, it's a great idea to kick off your shoes and touch the earth when you land, you know, within that day, because mm-hmm. that will help you reset.
Yeah, that's and that kind of facilitates what I was talking about, where I said like the pressure systems and like your organs and all that gets thrown off going up to high altitude. But like when you ground, it that gravitational pressure and like the magnetic, like our magnetic connection with the earth is kind of reestablished. So then like everything starts working better after you do that. But if you don't ground, like you're prolonging kind of how long your body is adjusting to the impact of flying.
You know, it's not related to flying, but I just have to share, T, that the last few months, I think probably like the last 4 months, I have really taken a very deep dive into grounding. Mm. My movement practice now, I get up really early. My whole life is shifted now, but I get up really early before Bubby wakes up and I do a long beach walk. And the first half, I listen to mantras, you know, I meditate, I go out there, I listen to mantras or music that I like. And then the second half, I usually do calls just because there's so much going on. There's so many amazing things and expansion and things we're going to be sharing with you guys very soon. But I feel so good. My sleep has been really good. I'm so focused, like charging, like high energy all day. And I really feel it's related to that. And it's not that I've given up yoga completely, because you know, my core practice was, which is pranayama and meditation, is always, always there. But I'm not really doing asanas on a daily basis right now because I feel called to this grounding.
Yeah.
And it's giving me something that my asanas weren't giving me. Mm. So I think it's that natural, like we see where we are in our life and where we need to go. And, you know, I'll cycle in and out of asanas like I have since I started yoga. So right now I'm not really doing it, but, you know, I do some light stretches, but the grounding, I see firsthand the power of what it does. And it's just massive. Like, I feel like a massive benefit in my life.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Because I think it sounds like you're getting, one of the things that we had talked about and we linked in the show notes was kind of like how yoga can also repressurize the system and help link. And I think, but it's amazing to know that you can just walk in nature, walk on the beach, walk on grass, walk in the forest, and you can get so many of those benefits. You don't have to be an advanced yogi to just like reground and like reestablish that healthy physiological pressure and magnetism and all of that, that really is important.
Exactly. And also, you know, as it applies here to travel, what a great way to connect with the land wherever you're going to actually get in. And, you know, it's different if you're flying to Tokyo, but, you know, when we went to Japan, we were there, but then we also went to Ishigaki Island and I could really connect and be barefoot and touch the sand and go in the forest there. And oh my gosh. There's this one little island we went to, it was 90% untouched rainforest.
Wow.
It was called Iriomoto, and it was this tiny island off. And I was up to my chest in the water. We were just trekking around the island.
Wow.
So that's like earthing to the max.
Yeah. I mean, you're really making me think, like a lot of times a person will like, they'll take a car, walk on concrete, go through like in a very unnatural airport, shoot up like thousands of miles in the air in this like radiation kind of like container, land, get into a car, go to a hotel, like walk on cement, go up to like a high rise, right? Like they're never,
not connected.
They're never touching the earth like a lot of times.
Well, do you think if you go to Central Park or let's say a park in the middle of a big city, is that park going down into the earth? Like, are you actually getting grounding?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, because there's not
there.
Like,
yeah, I don't think there's cement below Central
but
Park.
Is there subways under it?
I don't know, that's a good question.
I never thought about it.
I don't know. Yeah,
I don't think so. Cause I think that the orange line like kind of goes across Broadway, and, but I don't know. Correct me. I don't think they built subways underneath the park.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Because anyways, the point is if you're in a city, you can find ways to connect.
Yeah, I think
just
in
be
general,
out there.
Parks are still like the land below the parks are still like earth, not cement or metal or whatever.
Okay, so let's go back to the flight for a second. We want to stay hydrated. We want to add electrolytes, lemon. We want to have our GGS before, take a greens powder. It's a great idea to eat very lightly or for shorter flights. I recommend not really eating at all so your body has more capability to deal with the stress. What about, flights where we're kind of resetting into a different time zone and we do want to get some sleep? This is where it's a really great idea. The sleep masks,
yes.
The blocking out of light.
Yep. Sleep mask, blocking out of light, either ear, like good earplugs, or if you have noise canceling headphones can be good.
So these are all physical things. I know generally we don't recommend regularly taking melatonin because it can hamper our body's production of this sleep enhancing hormone. So that's not a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
Because, jet lag can suck. It'd be tough.
Yeah, exactly. It might be worth the trade-off sometimes.
Sometimes.
If you know it's going to be difficult for you to sleep where you land and, like, you can get it started. But yeah. And I think
there's elixirs, like, again, once you land, are powders that are really great for this, which contain, different medicinal mushrooms. Reishi is really great for sleep, for instance. Even ashwagandha, passion flower, chamomile. There's certain botanicals that are really great. If you're on a plane, you could just get some hot water and mix, you get a little whatever powder and mix it in. There's certain, we always want to try and go the natural botanical route.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think from what I read and I've just heard anecdotally, like sleeping on a plane is kind of good because I think a lot of people actually breathe better when they're sleeping, and also there's less pressure. I think there's just less pressure on your organs. So, like we were talking about, and so if you're on a 4-hour flight, sleeping for 2 hours, I think can be really good in a way to kind of pass the time, and then give your body a little bit of rest. Like it's almost like if you're going through something like intense, like if you're able to just like close your eyes and like process, like if you think about it, almost like a trauma. To position like flying, but like physiologically it's a little bit traumatic. So if you're like able to just close your eyes and just completely relax and almost like in a meditate or sleep, like you have more resources to kind of like your body has more resources. It's not expending energy.
No, I'm laughing to you because it sounds so heavenly. I'm thinking about flying with Bubby because I have only flown not with him once. When I literally landed in the Midwest, gave a corporate training, health training for the whole day and flew back. Mm-hmm. So I was gone less than 24 hours. Talk about trauma to the body. Yeah. Other than that, with Bubby, if I could close my eyes and meditate, it would be amazing. But now he's very active. When he was 7 weeks old, I mean, when we started flying with him, I did a press tour in New York for Radical Beauty. He was so little and he slept. He just fell asleep on my boob. Now it's like, holy crap. Like this is pretty intense.
Yeah.
Like this little guy, I love that little guy so much, but on the plane, he's crazy.
Out, yeah.
So that's another added stress for parents.
Yes.
So there's the breathing. There's that added.
You're getting some movement in, like chasing him.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. The movement of like Bubby, little Bub. Oh my gosh, little angel.
But that's
prince.
So important too. Like I think of like babies are so sensitive. Also, it's interesting.
Oh, I had a little radiation blanket for him. A little radiation hat.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's so cute.
Yeah, and like maybe kind of getting them to drink more than they normally would.
Yes.
And like, kind of doing some of these same, I mean, the kids won't do everything that you do, of course, especially if they're babies, but as much as they of the proto of these steps would be great just so they're protected too.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, T, for this amazing, amazing research. Beauties, there's more information in the show notes. Before we sign off, I have our thought of the day, T, which we are going to start to implement now in this segment. We do it on our Thursday Q&A one, and we've gotten a lot of great feedback about it. It's just a great way to end the show, something to ponder, something to think about, something you could think about how this can benefit and apply to your life. So for me, this is, and it's often something that resonates with me that I've thought about, or, you know, something that's going on for me. And the thought for me today to share with you is about clear intention. And I've started to apply this into everything I do. You know, what is my intention for this email? What is my intention for this conversation or this meeting? And just getting that real clarity. But I've even gone so far to really apply it even to smoothie we're making. You know, and I did a Facebook Live about this. What is the intention for this smoothie? For instance, the Glow and Green smoothie, the intention is to give us lots, you know, to build up our system, to clean us out, ongoing detoxification. So with that clear intent, we see, oh, well, if that's the intent, we don't need all these extraneous ingredients. We don't need the protein powder here. We don't need the almond butter. We don't need the almond milk. We don't need, you know, whatever, all these other nuts, all these things, because that's not the intent of the smoothie. So intention provides clarity. It provides simplicity. It helps our lives just be more focused, and it really focuses our energy so we don't dissipate it. So it's something I would, you know, just encourage you guys listening to think about. How can you bring more intention, more clarity to everything you do? Because it really helps to sharpen your focus.
Yes. I've been thinking about this something for actually quite a long time. And I remember reading these Carlos Castaneda books.
I read those years ago too.
Don Juan, and they, like, you would talk about these mystic, these spiritual kind of masters who, like, they looked at intent almost mystically. Like, when you really mastered intent, like, you could create, like, whatever you intend, you actually create. And actually the difference between when you do something or you create something and when you don't is actually, like, just your level of intention.
Wow.
So when you truly, and, like, looking back, and a lot of times I took this one personal development workshop where, like, basically, like, if you were late or if you're anything, and, like, people, they would actually, it was really fierce. Like, they would call people out and, like, really, like, kind of, like, get people to say, like, why were you late? You know, people would be like, oh, there's traffic. Oh, there's this or that. And they're like, kind of, like, cut away all the reasons and all excuses. And they're like, kind of the essence of it was, like, if you really, really intended, like, you do whatever. And sometimes things happen, but, like, the point of it was more that when you have, like, deep, deep, true intent, like, tension, it's like even beyond commitment. It's just like, it's already happened. And a focus and it's almost like, it's just a connection between your mind and reality. So like, when you have that intent, it's just like, it's there, it's happened. It's like so powerful.
It's so powerful. And it's something that we can just start to think about. Cause sometimes we just go through life and we're like, okay, I'm showing up, which is great, but it's like not having a map. It's like, what are we doing? Like, yes. you know, you're going through the motions. I'm on this. And for me now, T, I'm on so many calls and I have so many meetings. There's so much going on, and it's easy to be there and, you know, to participate and to be enthusiastic. But what's going on? Like, why am I here? Like, what is the intention? And I think if we bring that to everything and even to our relationships, like, what is the intention for our dinner together? It's to connect. It's to be vulnerable, to be open with each other. It can really forge stronger relationships. It can just better your whole life.
Amazing.
Sure. So something to think about, beauties, how can you bring intent into every situation? How can you bring it as a practice? You know, when you look at your schedule, when you look at what you're making for a smoothie or for dinner, just try to think about that intention, and it will help to give you focus, give you energy, and give you better results. So with that being said, we are going to wrap up our show today. Thank you so much, beauty, for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, there's tons more information in the show notes, which we're going to provide links to the research and more information. And again, if you haven't yet left a review over on iTunes, please do review our podcast. It means the world to me. It is the way that we are helping to spread the message and help others live their most beautiful lives as well. And again, please take a screenshot to share with a friend or family member if you found this information helpful. Tag me @_KimberlySnyder on Instagram. And thank you again for tuning in. Sending you so much love. Take great care of yourself. We will see you back here on Thursday. You may often wonder, can healthy be delicious? With Sunbasket Meal Kits, the answer is yes. Forget flavorless diet food. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home, no matter how much experience you have in the kitchen. Just go to the Sunbasket app and pick from 18 weekly recipes. There are many different options, including vegan, gluten-free, lean and clean, paleo, Mediterranean, family options, and much more. Sunbasket works with the best farms and suppliers to bring you fresh, organic produce and responsibly raised ingredients and selections. And the best part, Sunbasket is delivered in perfect portions with reliable nutrition information, and it's ready to whip up in about 30 minutes. There's something for every healthy journey and every busy lifestyle. Sunbasket delivers delicious meal kits right to your door, making healthy cooking easy and convenient for any busy lifestyle. Go to sunbasket.com/beauty today to learn more and to get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/beauty for $35 off. sunbasket.com/beauty. Hey, beauties, welcome back. I'm so excited to be here with you today. Today, we're going to be talking about the power of massage, and you're going to have so much great information about the healing power of touch and how to utilize it in your own life. The fantastic Eric Stevenson. He is a renowned massage expert, and he has counseled some of the biggest names in the industry, including Wynn in Las Vegas and Sandals Resorts. He is the chief wellness officer for Elements Massage, which has now over 250 locations around the world. So, Eric, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me, Kimberly. I'm excited to talk about one of my favorite subjects.
Yes, massage. So I have to say, Eric, I am a huge, huge fan of massage. I love it. It feels good to me. But sometimes I think there's this perspective that massage is just a luxury and something you do in a spa. And then when I started studying Ayurveda, I learned about Abhyanga and how self-oil massage can have a very real impact on your endocrine system and your immune system, and just working with the skin, which is so vasculated and connected to our nervous system, there's very real health impacts. So can you talk a little bit about your experience and your work and how you've seen, you know, what you've seen health-wise in people?
Yeah, just to pick up on that point, you know, they say that the skin really is the surface of your brain.
Yes.
That touch really has a neurology to it. It's relaxing. It's pleasurable. It helps calm your nervous system, lower your blood pressure. So there's all these benefits of touch. And certainly, you know, some of us experience touch really early in of our lives. And it's just such a part of how we grow up. I know when I was a kid, my mother used to rub my back and put me to sleep, and she tickled my neck and put me to sleep. And it's just a really natural way to interact. And it's just a natural part of the human experience.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about some people, like you're talking about touch, and I know that, you know, for me, it is so amazing, like just the way I bonded with my son, my infant son, who's amazing. And from the beginning of his life, it just felt really natural to have him in on my body and to carry him in the carrier. And you know, that's the way he's going to grow up. But what about when people say to you, or they've said to me, I've heard people say, I just don't like to be touched. I'm very uncomfortable with touch. What do you think that's about?
Yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, if you just watch other mammals, whether it's a dog or a cat, there's certainly some pets that will come right up to you and just immediately trust you and sort of flop over on their back and let you touch their bellies. And then there's
yes.
that are like, no way. And I remember
they've been abused, right? If they're from a
yeah.
shelter sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, they could have spent some time, you know, out in the wild, so their nervous system was always on alert, or they could have had an attack by another dog. And so there's just all of this trauma that could potentially be held either energetically or actually emotionally or physically in their body. And that could be a big reason why some people might be predisposed to staying away from touch, and others might gravitate towards it.
Well, you know, in some cultures, Eric, when I've had the, really grateful to have the opportunity to travel around the world, and I know you have as well, based on all your spa work. And you see in countries, especially in Asia, India, Philippines, countries like that, you see where across the society, people are more touchy. They're, kind of patting each other's backs, so-called strangers, people you don't know exactly, but just patting their arms, putting their arms around them, even holding hands. I was really pleasantly surprised when I was in certain countries, just certain societies really encourage touch more than I think we see in the West. So it's interesting to see that too.
Yeah, I know when I went to Europe, that was one of the things that really struck me is, the amount of touch that I was watching people have just in daily encounters, and then also the amount of people that came up to me and gave me sort of casual touch in restaurants or as they were speaking to me. And certainly, there's aspects of that in our society too, but I do think that there is a huge cultural component to touch that weaves its way into certain societies more than others.
So what are some of the, we talked about skin. What are some of the specific emotional, and physical. Let's talk about all the benefits that you've seen of massage, because now we're in a world where, as we know, there's, stress, busyness, the world is getting more frantic in a sense. We pack more into each day. And also we're more isolated, Eric. People are on their phones more. Like, social media is great for connecting people in cyberspace, but in some ways we're less connected face-to-face. So what are some of the benefits of getting this actual physical touch?
Yeah, so
massage.
if there were an America's Most Wanted for health problems, stress would definitely be at the top of the list. And The UN calls stress the 21st century health epidemic. So it's really paramount that we take care of ourselves in a way that combats stress. A lot of times we'll look at symptoms, and stress is a factor in 5 out of the 6 leading causes of death, whether it's heart disease or cancer or stroke. And so what we want to do is really go at that stress. And, oftentimes our nervous system is just overloaded. I talk a lot with clients about the difference between their fight or flight or their rest and digest nervous system. And most of us are in the fight or flight the majority of our day. And that's really not going to help us in the long term in terms of our immune system and our ability to adapt. We really need that rest and digest part of our nervous system to come forth. And certainly massage is a great way to do that. It's really also poignant to point out that I've seen a lot of articles lately about loneliness and the loneliness epidemic, especially in our country here in the United States. And we are more connected, and yet people are reporting that they don't have the type of social connection that they had 20 or 30 years ago. And research basically shows that the single biggest predictor of your happiness on the planet is your social support network. So, the way that we really organize ourselves around our friends, around our family, around this loneliness topic, and then of course touch and the healing power of touch can be also be part of that in terms of combating stress.
So how often, I guess it's very individual to each person, but how often should someone come in to get a massage? Because again, just some of the common things you hear, oh, it's just a luxury. It's just once in a while when I'm on vacation or I'm in a spa, because, unless people really start to understand the benefits, it's not always something that people necessarily want to pay for. But I think once people understand how important it is, they may be more apt to put aside some of their budget for it more regularly, if it's possible.
Yeah, that's what we find in Elements, and we really help people understand that a massage at least once a month is what you want to shoot for. So it's interesting. We will say that to clients when they first come in, and after being a massage therapist for more than 20 years, it's definitely at first an outside-in job in terms of I'll help educate clients about how often they should receive massage, giving their stress, their activity level. And then eventually, the fascinating thing is a client can tell you almost right down to the day when they need to come in and get a massage, or else their headaches will come back, or their lower
oh, wow.
back, or they can't play 18 rounds of golf. So they pay really close attention to the benefits, and they are able to point to almost an exact day of the week that they know along that time cycle that if they don't get their massage, their symptoms or even the cause of their problems will return.
You know, Eric, your voice is so calming and soothing. Were you always this mellow, or did it start when you started getting all these massages? Well, Eric, when someone is coming in, you know, I always feel like I get the same kind of massage. I like a deep tissue. I mean, I do walk quite a bit. I don't know. I just feel like I like that sort of deeper touch. Do you think that people are just attracted to one kind of massage, or do you think sort of like eating, you know, I tell our beloved community here, it's a good idea to rotate your vegetables, your greens, and your Glowing Green smoothie, for instance. Do you think it's the same kind of thing with massage, or do you think it's kind of like one form appeals to you and go with that because your body knows what it intuitively needs?
Yeah, I think being in touch with your body, you get better at determining what you need in that moment. So for instance, there's some days when I'm just so overwhelmed, and I know I'll see clients and they're just so overwhelmed. They just want to be for an hour or an hour and a half. They don't want to have to think about anything. They don't want to have to think about their pain or their injury. And certainly they're just there to be. And that's one of the most powerful things that can happen for an individual, is just to be in the present moment without having to be mom or dad or coworker for 90 minutes. And then, you know, there's other times when you may have just played, you know, an afternoon of tennis and you really have a nagging case of plantar fasciitis, or your knee is really bothering you. So you might want the therapist to really focus in and do some specific work on that area of your body. So I think that human beings change all the time. And the trap is to think that we always need the same massage, but an extra great massage therapist will really help you figure out where you're at that particular day and what type of touch would be meaningful and helpful.
Well, that's another great point to bring up. I feel like, you know, if let's say I'm traveling and I go somewhere and I want to book a massage, you always ask the, you know, at least the person booking the massage, oh, well, who's really good for this guy or this guy? You try to get recommendations because, as you know, all massage therapists are not created equal, and they can have their bios. And, you know, I've trained here and I had this qualification, but it's so much energy, which makes it a little harder, I guess. I mean, you can go on reviews, but, you know, how do you recommend going about really finding the right therapist for you without, you know, just searching and seeking and trying a million different ones, and in the process having some really bad massages, perhaps? How do you, like, what are some of the questions you can ask, or, you know, just ways to tune into the right therapist?
Yeah, well, certainly professional recommendations from other friends and family go a long way, right? So a referral goes a long way to understanding. And then, you know, I like to talk to the therapist if possible on the phone, or to, you know, really get a sense of what style of work they do and what sort of massage you're looking for. You know, pressure is definitely a subjective thing. What's really pleasurable to one person in terms of pressure might be extremely painful to another. But the interesting thing that I'm finding about touch in general, and especially massage, is a lot of the research is pointing to what's called the therapeutic relationship between the client and the therapist. And that's actually as powerful, if not more powerful, than the technique in terms of, you know, the compassion that the therapist displayed, the kindness that they're displaying, and most important, like how present they are during the massage. Because certainly, you know, if someone's thinking about what they're going to have for dinner while they're giving you a massage, or how they're going to fix their flat tire, it really takes away from that quality of interaction. So we're finding now that that therapeutic presence and that relationship between the client and the therapist is as powerful as any of the technique they're employing.
Yeah, you know, like we were talking about how healing touches and the intention to heal and the intention to send, you know, whatever words you want to say, good energy, which is, you know, what Reiki is all about. Once you get those channels open, you're using your hands, right, to send healing vibrations. And there is a lot of power through the hands. I guess it, you know, it's just really, like you said, talking to each person, because sometimes you just get that sense, I guess, Eric, you know, like you know someone's going to be a friend, like you're going to connect with this person, or you're going to, you know, this is the right person to hire for the job, or this is, you know, whatever. Same thing with a massage therapist. If you can feel like there is that genuine longing to help and that they will be present with you, I guess a lot of it does go to trusting your gut.
Yeah, and certainly you have to try a few therapists. Sometimes it's a match on the first try.
Sure.
But, you know, other times one of the therapists can actually say, well, within the studio, we have a therapist that actually specializes in the kind of massage you're looking for, or the approach that you're looking for. So it's usually not hard to find somebody after a few tries, but certainly, you know, that can also happen on the first connection too.
You know, Eric, in our society now, I've heard this term used quite a bit called tech neck, which is related to being on our tablets and our phones and our laptops so much that we're projecting our heads forward and putting a huge amount of increased weight on our neck. And so are you finding that in your massages? Are you noticing a huge difference in the health of people's necks? And does that make us more susceptible to, let's say, when there's a car crash, whiplash, which may not usually be so detrimental, but you're seeing that this tightness is actually exacerbating injuries?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's hazards out there that weren't around, you know, in the earlier part of the last century. But, you know, we have had books for a long time where we've stared down at books. We've had sewing machines. We have had things that have actually affected our bodies in the same way. So I think that there's probably a prevalence here, but I also think that it has something to do with our nervous system being stimulated constantly as well. So in other words, when we are on our phone or we are at the computer, you know, we're getting bombarded with images constantly, and our nervous system really isn't at rest. You know, it might be different if you were just sort of reading a book or, you know, knitting or looking down at something as a craft. So, you know, it's hard to say whether or not that's causing a lot of the dysfunction we're seeing, but certainly there aren't many things that I do, you know, looking the other direction. Maybe yoga class on Wednesday night, I stretch my body out and look up at the sky, or church on Sunday. You know, most of the things that I do are down and forward, and, you know, I'm 6'2", so I'm a tall guy. I try not to do things that I'm staring down all the time. So I think that the body likes variance, and it likes a lot of options when it comes to movements.
Well, Eric, do you use aromatherapy in your sessions? What do you think about smell with massage?
Yeah, we do use aromatherapy at Elements, and we actually have three different scents that we use to evoke different types of feelings. And the interesting thing about aromatherapy is that your sense of smell, your olfactory system, is directly tied to your emotional brain, or what's known as your limbic system. So when you smell something, it has a direct correlation to this emotional brain, which controls your heart rate, your digestion, controls your mood. So sense of smell can really pull you right into the present moment. And that pulling into the present moment has been shown through some research to have effects on your nervous system, especially your fight or flight nervous system, the one that is in charge of, you know, really getting you into that state where your cortisol and your adrenaline is going. And, you know, whether or not you want to relax and simply use maybe a scent like lavender to chill out or calm out and sedate your nervous system, you can also energize your nervous system, because somebody that is lethargic or unable to get moving, or maybe a little bit depressed, can use an invigorating scent to help get them moving and to help energize their body.
That's a really beautiful explanation, Eric, about the limbic system. And it makes it very clear why it's so powerful, because we know that scent feels good, just like touch feels good. But the fact that, you know, it's nice to sometimes also know that background and the neuroscience behind it, and that it is actually having a tangible effect on our digestion and bringing us present and all these other benefits, I think that's great. I know when I get a massage and they're using oils and it feels and it smells good in there, it just takes me deeper. It kind of like it's the combination of the senses. I feel like I'm somewhere else. And to me, that's even more relaxing for the mind. Like it just feels really nice.
And that deeper word is really sort of what's bringing you deeper into your own body, into your own emotions, into the present moment, really. And I think that's why massage and yoga and meditation are so healing and so beneficial, because they really do remove us from the stress of worrying about the past and the anxiety of worrying about the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's right into the present moment. And smell is just a really powerful way to do that quickly.
So now in you know, practically speaking in the world, do you see massage growing as people feel more disconnected perhaps in their life? Or do you think it's lessening, like people are just kind of cutting out touch more and more altogether?
No, I think more and more people are experiencing the power of touch. And certainly massage is much more popular in terms of mainstream culture than it was in the 90s when I went to massage school. I mean, pretty much when I went to school and came out, there was massage in chiropractic offices, there was massage in some spas, but it really hadn't become mainstream yet. Now what we see is the ability for Americans to receive massage in a real mainstream way. And I think that, you know, I'm not sure that necessarily a larger portion of the population, at least the research that I've seen suggests that there's still probably close to 80% of the population that doesn't receive regular massage. But I do believe that over time, what we're going to see is more and more people start to spread the word about the healing power of touch, and also some of the evidence-based research that's starting to really point to the benefits of massage will also increase public awareness.
Well, Eric, what do you think about self-massage? You know, we talked a little bit about Abhyanga. I know if you're familiar with that. I mean, obviously, getting a massage by someone else is the best, and it feels really nice, and you feel healed and cared for. But do you ever do self-massage, or what do you think about it?
Yeah, well, you'll run into me in an airport at some point. In Brilliant, and we'll say hello, and I'll probably be rolling my foot on a golf ball, which is what I do when I'm just sitting in an airport. But in all seriousness, I self-massage regularly, and I do think that it's a vital part of self-care, and it's a vital part of a professional recommendation that a really great therapist would give you. They're going to look at your body and say, you know, in between sessions, here's some things that you can do to add to the cumulative results of today. So whether you get a self-massager or whether you use a golf ball or whether you use a tennis ball in between massage sessions, it's certainly something that I advocate and I truly believe in.
Oh, wow. That's so great to hear. Yeah. And if I see you in the airport, Eric, I'm going to say, oh, Eric, you know, my neck's kind of sore. Could you work on me for a minute?
Well, we're friends now, so that would be great.
You know, Eric, I just, whenever I fly, I need, you know, sometimes I forget, you know, that little pillow that kind of round, like the half moon, I don't know what to call it, but if I forget my little half moon pillow that kind of keeps your neck up, I fall asleep and then my neck jerks and it takes me days to get my neck feeling good again. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, I'm sure people come in and they're like, oh, I traveled, my neck feels like crap right now.
Yeah, I mean, you can't underestimate how many factors are at play when you get on an airplane, right? I joke with my friends because some of my friends want to get to the airport a half an hour before the plane leaves. And I talk about how stressful the airport experience really is.
It really is.
If you get into a little germ orb called the airplane and you're in a fight or flight mode, chances are that stress could potentially make you sick. So I think whether it's a neck pain from being in an awkward position, or whether it's, you know, actually having the flu after you get off the plane, the factor of stress has to be present in all of that. So I do believe that some of that is just the neck position being in an uncomfortable chair. And certainly a lot of the underlying cause is just the stress of a modern day airport and airline experience.
Well, Eric, maybe in the airports, they could have your voice doing the flights, your calm voice. You could say, okay, those departing to Denver, go to this gate.
21C is now boarding.
Oh, wow. Well, Eric, thank you so much for being here with us today. Love hearing your perspective. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. And everybody, please check out the show notes. We're going to have some links, more information on Eric, and also the website to check out is elementsmassage.com.
And thanks so much for having me, Kimberly. And I really hope that if people are out there and they've been thinking about getting a professional massage, that they'll actually take that step and go out mm-hmm. and try it and experience the healing power of touch.
Amazing. Well, Eric, you're doing such great work in the world. I definitely 1,000,000% believe that touch is healing. So thank you so much for everything that you're doing.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me. I appreciate it, Kimberly.
Okay, beauties. And before we sign off of today's show, I want to read you a quote that is inspiring to me at the moment. This is from the Tao Te Ching. I always say it wrong, but this is an amazing text that comes to us from China. It's an ancient text written by Lao Tzu a couple thousand years ago. There's many different translations of the Tao. This is by an author called Stephen Mitchell that I like a lot. And he writes, "The master observes the world, but trusts his inner vision." So this is resonating with me a lot right now, and I hope it does with you as well, because there's so much that comes into our space, so much information, so much social media, so much technology, so much advice, so much. And we can observe it. We can take it in. We can, we can see what applies. But it's so important that we hold true to the inner vision that we all have. Within each of us is inner vision. There is inner wisdom, known as intuition as well. It guides us. It leads us to what's right for us, whether that means the right thing for us to eat in a meal that will nourish us at lunch that day. It will guide us to the right step to take in our work, in our career, the best use of our time, the friend that we, that we feel or that we know from within is the person that we want to spend time with that day that will help support us where we are. So it's really, really important that we hold true and we hold fast and we really nourish this, our connection to our inner vision. And a way to do that is, course, through stillness and silence and having some time to meditate or some downtime by yourself. So I encourage you guys to really listen to your inner voice, to listen to your inner vision. It will always, always lead you the right way. So thank you again so much, beauties, for tuning in to today's show. And if you haven't yet already, please do leave a review for us on iTunes. It is something I appreciate so much. It's a way to help spread the love and the light and the message to others. And also you can take a screenshot of our show here right on your phone, and you can post it in your IG story or on Twitter or on Facebook just to help share with others as well, which is a beautiful way to share the message. So we will be back here Thursday for our Q&A podcast. Till then, beauties, take care. Sending you so much love. I love you. And thank you for being part of our community. Make great choices. Take care of yourself. And we will see you back here very soon. Okay, beauties, I will be back with you on Thursday for my Q&A session show where I answer questions from the Beauty Detox community. To submit your question, please go to KimberlySnyder.com/AskKimberly. Thanks so much and see you again soon. And always remember, progress, not perfection, as true beauty comes from the inside out.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.